listening to the Nerds Assemble podcast.
And welcome to the Nerds Assemble podcast, episode 192. I'm Paul.
I'm Paul, a.k.a. Cookie.
I'm Paul, a.k.a. Retroid.
Apologies for what should have been last week's episode. We found that after recording, that the actual voice recording was not up to scratch in the least. So I know our bar is usually not particularly high set for audio clarity quality, but yeah, that recording was absolutely atrocious. So
I think it got iron fisted.
It did get iron fisted. It fisted right in the iron.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah.
You don't want to do that because you'll get your knuckles and you'll scuff them and it will just sting.
Yeah. It's all right though. If you've got the iron fist, it's fine. You don't scuff anything.
Okay, so obviously, as we were kind of alluding to last week's episode, we were trying to discuss the Iron Fist. It's probably fortuitous that this week we're going to be doing that instead, because now all three of us have actually watched all of the Iron Fist on
Netflix. 13 episodes, baby,
and so have a broader picture of what the fuck with the series, you know. So yeah, we've kind of had a lot of negative press surrounding it recently, specifically to do with kind of whitewashing, cultural appropriation, certain academic kind of arguments for why it's not good.
Yep.
So how do we feel about that? I think I kind of generally agree that they could have cast, a part Asian actor in the role of Danny Rand.
Yeah, definitely. They could have definitely done that. Easily done that, just to up the tempo a little bit and change it a little bit around. Obviously, they wanted to stay true to the original character, which was done in the late 70s. Yep, so...
Hence the ninjas.
Hence the ninjas, yes, which I'm not too fussed about. I suppose
with the business and the yuppie culture as well, that was kind of quite 80s.
Yeah, it was. And to be fair, I think that's where Iron Fist let us down mostly. Retroid said it last week. I agree totally with him for a change. It was totally... a bit too retro.
And weirdly set in the here and now, which just made it stick out more.
Yes.
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I mean, I watched it. I did enjoy it a fair amount, but I did find it problematic.
I enjoyed it, but I have to say, out of all of the Netflix shows so far, it is definitely got to be the weakest.
Yeah, I've heard that going around as well. It's definitely, It's I think the stepping stone to the Defenders that they kind of needed to quickly push out, as soon as possible, in order to kind of get it on.
Totally get.
I would have been fine, really, if this had been a movie or half the series, because it just seemed to be... all the series that we've seen so far from Marvel on Netflix have had pacing issues at times. Or, they've kind of felt this one seemed to be all over the place and really weirdly edited together at times.
Yeah. I think the
whole first few episodes with the... it's Joy and Ward.
Yeah.
Especially Joy, she just seemed to go all over the place, whether she believed him or not.
Yes.
And Ward just seemed to be there to be a sort of cartoon yuppie villain for most of it, and he only got slightly sympathetic later on. You got a slight eking of perhaps a third dimension at times with him later on in the series, but
see, I think
especially near the end when he got to redeem himself in some respect.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just should not trust any Marvel characters named Ward from now on.
Yes, this is true. Very true. Yes, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ward. I wonder if it was the real Ward with the mask on.
It's
actually a collection of sentient alien dust.
That makes sense. Going back to that pacing issue you mentioned, though. I think it's... You fit the nail on the head there, because what I liked about, really, really loved about Daredevil Season 2 was you had half the season surrounding the Punisher with little hints of the Hand, and then you had the Hand story arc come in and sort of finish off after the Punisher. So you had two story arcs, and that helped flesh out the season a lot more.
In some ways, that did feel a little bit weirdly rushed.
Yeah.
I liked some of it, but yeah.
But it was the better one of the two.
I mean, even with a lot of TV done nowadays, you know, you generally tend to get seasons in two parts, you know, before and after Christmas, and there's usually kind of a narrative for almost each one. But that's usually like about, you know, kind of 12 episodes or so by itself per part. So this one did feel like it kind of went from A to B in a very unusually paced way.
Yeah.
It seriously seemed like it had to be pasted together from what they had. Which doesn't make sense to me, because it's a Marvel Netflix series and they've done well, so surely they would have the money necessary.
Well, yeah, you'd have thought so. And... Yeah, I mean, they still had certain elements which I really, really enjoyed. But one other thing that sort of sticks out is just the actual story arc. I wasn't too convinced with the two factions at the end, which is a bit annoying.
For which, sorry, was that Iron Fist or for Deadpool?
Iron Fist.
Yeah.
My suggestion is, instead of calling them the Hand, well, you could call one of them the Hand. You know, if you're going to keep the name, you know, one of them has to be the Hand, and then the other one could be the Face, because then you could talk to the Hand because the Face aliens. And if they're two disparate factions, you could call one of them Ass and the other one Elbow.
Yeah. You see, I reckon,
because
you can't
tell your ass from your elbow.
See. I reckon that the head of the Hand is actually Master Hand from Smash Bros. Just like big floating kind of cartoony hand that would just, pummel everybody.
He just sort of stands there and mashes the joypad with big buttons on.
Yeah.
There you go. I had to just... There's an opportunity there to kick Nintendo.
I'm surprised you didn't try and fist Nintendo.
Oh,
that's after dark.
Yes.
That is after dark.
But going back to the Iron Fist whole thing as well, I still didn't like the fact we didn't really get to see much of his upbringing in Kung Lao.
Kung Lun.
And they had more than enough time for that.
Don't remember, Kung Lao is a character in Mortal Kombat.
Yep. So the place I'm thinking of is...
Kung Lun.
There you go. That'll do. Kung Lun. There you go. I would have liked to have seen more of his, the past.
I mean, to be fair, like Mortal Kombat is another one of those kind of texts that, is kind of a cultural appropriation as well, so.
Yeah.
In fact, I've not actually seen any kind of outrage about the cultural appropriation of Mortal Kombat.
That's because those are more a comment of what came over.
Yeah,
but they're more a pastiche of you know, the stuff that got released and made over here and remade and re-edited. So it's not so much a you know, a ripping off of, you know, Asian cinema. It's more like the, you know, the straight to video stuff, you know, that particular corner, the cheap corner in the VHS store that you used to go into with your parents, setting myself up there for a "you are old."
Too easy, too easy.
Yeah, the V2000 section right next to Laserdisc.
Wow. Okay, so in terms of the diversity of characters that we've seen so far, it's quite bizarre that Iron Fist has many non-white characters, but the main lead is white.
And dull as dishwater.
Yeah.
I think somebody described him, was it as naive or something? I don't necessarily think that. I think he... I've heard the term "mighty whitey" thrown about, which is
that just makes me think of a loaf of bread.
I think Madame Gao in the show actually summed him up by saying, "You are still a boy trying to act like a man." That was quite sort of hitting the nail on the head.
You are still a poor man's 70s Batman with ninjas.
See, the ninjas don't bother me because the hand's always been in the Marvel books and they've always been quite powerful in that. I've
told you that the face ain't listening.
It's just, I don't know, it was just the way they've been portrayed seems a bit, I don't know.
In some ways, I kind of preferred how the hand were portrayed in this versus some of what was portrayed in Daredevil Season 2.
Yeah.
See, I actually preferred them in Daredevil Season 2 because I thought they came across as more threatening and more focused and more aligned.
That they did seem almost like New York was meant to be like the focal point of some kind of conspiracy type, you know, thing to end the world in Daredevil, whereas in... Iron Fist, they're just like...
They just seem broken and at war with each other, and it just seemed a bit weird.
Who else had real problems with their trip to China?
In what was only real problems?
It was only like 10 minutes of the episode, right?
Well, it was about a whole episode, but it's just
very quick, though. Very quick and very...
Yeah. Oh, you're in another part of New York, but we're supposed to believe that this is China.
But on the same token...
The pastiche or rip-off of Drunken Master.
I really enjoyed that fight. I thought the choreography on that fight was brilliant. And the fighting styles.
I thought it would have been better in a different series. I think what didn't help... It was not China they were in, and it was screamingly not China. So I already had an issue with that, and then you had a drunken master fight where he was speaking English.
It's surprising, just, you know, that they had what is his best friend from Kung Lun, who was had a British accent and stuff as well.
As we all know, British is the international accent of someone else.
It kind of feels like that. I mean, I think I watched on YouTube a segment on like the upcoming Defenders, like, and you know, that had interviews with, you know, people and whatnot, and just hearing how many of the half of the Defenders, are British, and it's like, okay. I mean, I know Britain, I know the British have always been in Hollywood, you know, but it seems to have been ramping up.
It is quite striking because did you see the video I posted up, which was when you find out that an actor's British, and it was watching Batman. Yep, there's Batman, and then there's an interview with him. Hang on, he's got, God blimey. I go, what? And and then it's Andrew Lincoln from, you know, that there Walking Dead, and
yeah,
he's being a Brit as well. It's just
thing is, though, is that the people that kind of generally tend to go over there, they've most of the time had, you know, stuff out in Britain. You know, say Andrew Lincoln was in, you know, Love Actually and Teachers, and you know, you've obviously had I think it was Christian Bale in, you know, certain other kind of films where he's like British and stuff. So it's kind of bizarre that the Americans kind of seem surprised by that.
Amy Pond.
I mean, you don't go to Hollywood without like any acting experience whatsoever and just kind of get roles.
I think it's Brits, I think, do a lot more practicing of other accents, especially American, because we see, you know, so much in the, you know, films and on TV.
And yet Benedict Cumberbatch's accent in the Doctor Strange was just not good. It grated on Emily's nerves.
Yeah, but then I would say that's the House effect. I cannot watch House MD.
See, I've loved House.
With Hugh Laurie, because I spend the entire episode just staring at him going, why are you talking like that? We know what you sound like. You're Hugh bloody Laurie. I was watching you in comedy series like Blackadder.
Yeah.
You know, for years. And what the hell are you doing? What? And why do people think you're American? You're clearly not. That accent is not yours.
You do realise, though, he only actually got the job because he did that accident and they actually honestly thought he was from New Jersey.
Is that where he's supposed to be from? And that's an honest response.
Or something like that.
I'm not familiar enough with the New Jersey accent to kind of say yay or nay.
Have you watched The Sopranos?
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I think it was Jersey or something like that. But I do know that he famously said that he actually got the role because of his American accent. They actually believed he was from wherever he was supposed to be from.
Oh, bless them, so naive.
And it was
so unworldly.
Actually got talking on set after he got the job that they realised he was British.
Jesus Christ. By the way, if you're hearing Kat again, that's...
Yeah, that's fine.
My
cat, Callie.
Bless. One thing I did like about it, though, going back to Iron Fist, was the choreography of the fight. They managed to do it. They've managed to do it again where he's got a distinct style compared to all the other three before him.
I think with the fight sequences, I kind of... that there was something about them that was... the choreography was good. I think the way it was shot was generally... yeah. I mean, I know Daredevil kind of set a standard, but Daredevil's got its own kind of style with the fight sequences as well, being very kind of one-shot, you know, kind of seeing things as they happen. So, you know, kind of one-to-one time ratio. In essence, no speeding up, no slowing down or anything like that. It seems very visceral and real in a way.
I had a moment where Danny and his friend,
which one,
are going to be, you know, they're trying to escape from, you know,
the compound.
Yeah, the compound, and they're trapped in that corridor. And I thought, no, don't try it. Don't try and equal the corridor fight in Daredevil season one, because first of all, you're not going to do it, because Daredevil season two tried it on the stairs and it didn't, you know, work as well.
True.
So it's just, yeah, don't try it. And, you know, thankfully, well, I don't think they tried it. If they did, if that's what they were, you know, if I watch a making of and they say, yeah, we really tried to do the corridor fight from Daredevil season one, then I'll just say, well, you failed.
Well, I mean, I think the corridor scene from Daredevil season one was done in such a way where, you know, the camera was, you know, that it was always in the hallway, pretty much. Every time, you know, Daredevil actually went into another room, you know, the camera would either kind of stay where it was or kind of look at the room from the doorway.
Yeah.
So it kind of doesn't really work if, you know. in any other way, really, to be honest. If you try to follow Daredevil wherever he goes, you know, almost like a third person, then it kind of, yeah, I think it loses it.
See, that's what I quite liked about the compound scene with Iron Fist, was how Davos and Iron Fist were literally just sort of running past each other at the wall and stuff, taken out of
That was quite well done, yeah.
Yeah, I quite like that. You could see how they'd actually... It gave you a sense of how well they'd trained together and how they knew how each other were, you know, sort of the next... where they were going to go. And they just worked really well together on that.
I think what Iron Fist did well is it kind of expanded on what started off in Daredevil Season 2.
Yes.
No, because obviously you got the hand, but you've also got the mythology of the whatever it is that they do to kind of, you know, make you keep coming back.
Excuse me. Started in Daredevil Season 1 with Madame Gao, didn't it?
What do you mean by that?
Wasn't Madame Gao in Daredevil Season 1?
She was, but I'm more referring specifically to, you know, kind of the resurrection of characters and stuff.
Yeah. But they did the whole heroin thing started in Daredevil Season 1 because that's what they were selling. Because you saw the package with the dragon.
Okay.
That's true, yeah.
Ha-ha.
Also, you know, spoiler for the last scene in the series, right? But the, you know, the whole thing where he's taking, what's her face? What's her name again?
Colleen Wing, right?
Colleen, that's it.
It's my favourite character.
Yes, frankly, if Danny had turned up in the, you know, the first episode and then died and she'd taken over the Iron Fist somehow, then I would have been happier with the series because I just thought she was a better character. And she's probably a better actress as well.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, you know, I'd say, oh, hang on. Wait, they, you know, they've moved, is it Kung Lun or whatever it was?
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, it's Lost. It's the island from Lost, except it's in the mountains. I think you'll find it in Hawaii now, where everyone died at the start of the series. And I wasted 5 years of my life watching it to find what the answer was. And I guessed it when they in the first 5 minutes of the episode. But yeah. It's like, oh, they've moved the mountain range. They've moved the village. So, okay. Well, I suppose you've got Doctor Strange in this universe, haven't you? In the Marvel universe. So why not? Yeah, whatever.
And it's supposed to be only accessible once every 15 years because it's the seventh heaven. Or one of the seven heavens.
I get the feeling that, you know, Blokey who created this series was probably watching a lot of kung fu movies and just scribbled down names of takeaways in Chinatown. There's Seventh Heaven. There's Kung Lao. Right. Okay, I'll note those down. Those are good.
It's Kung Lun.
Whatever.
Kung Lao is a Mortal Kombat character.
I sincerely, with all my heart, don't care. That's how much I, you know, the whole plot line of Iron Fisting got to me because it's just, yeah, I spent a lot of time browsing AliExpress on my tablet while watching the series.
Can I just also, a bit of a bugbear for me was, Madame Gao.
Mm-hmm.
So when he does that whole trial where she rigs it and he tries to catch up with her.
Who could have expected that?
Well, yeah, but she managed to throw him against the wall, smashing the wall.
Mm.
And yet, two episodes later, they managed to subdue her within about 5 minutes, and she does absolutely fuck all.
I just took that as she, you know, it didn't matter to her. Because, you know, she said she'd spent about 300 years or, you know, most of the 17th century, you know, doing something or other. So she's obviously got the, you know, the magic kung fu juice that you mean, she, you know, she can't die or age. So
no, but
the whole thing is, you know,
she didn't put up more of a fight.
Well, if you think about it, she was... It was still the hand that she was seeing.
See, what perturbed me the most is... was it Colleen's students? They sided with the hand rather than with Colleen.
Because of her training. Yes.
But, I mean, it's like, you know, she basically had a personal connection to them. And they were just like, no, you're not following the hand. You're my enemy now. It's like, what?
It's like, oh, hang on. This is your boss. Okay, we'll follow him now. We'll completely ignore you. We've just been training.
The only one who seemed to actually have second thoughts was Daryl. After he got his leg broken by Tavos. But you could actually, in that scene, you know, you could see him questioning, was it the right thing? Because he actually said that to Babuka, or whatever his name was. Babuka, was it?
Also, you know, just a question there about the compound, right? Was that in Central Park or, you know, quite near there?
It did seem to be.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, because it seemed to... Hang on, you've got a massive fuck-off militarised kung fu school in New York. And no one seems to think... Although I know, you know, people say, but it's because it's the hand, you see, and they're very powerful because everything's corrupt and the hand has power beyond your imagining. And I'm thinking, no, it just seemed stupid.
Yeah.
It was just, what? You know, they run out the gates and they seem to be in Central Park again. So, yeah. And what?
Yeah.
I mean, it's quite possible they didn't, and I'm quite possible that, you know, I missed something because there was something really interesting in a bag of resistors and Ali Express, but
it did seem like they didn't really travel very much and everything was kind of contained within like a, you know, kind of a 20-mile square radius maximum.
But... Yeah, but basically if one of those big alien creature things for, you know, that was flying around New York and knocking over and, you know, entire skyscrapers in the first Avengers in a film.
Yeah.
If one of them had just been shot and landed on a city block, I think that would have been the entirety of Iron Fist gone.
To be fair, though, I mean, all four of the Defenders are meant to be set in New York City.
Yes. And... all in different suburbs.
Yeah, two of them are supposed to be in, was it Hell's Kitchen?
Hell's Kitchen and obviously Harlem.
Yeah.
Luke Cage.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's they've got quite a concentrated superhero population in New York for some reason. So I mean, technically, you know, Spider-Man's meant to be there somewhere. And considering now Spider-Man has become part of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and Marvel Cinematic Universe has the Netflix thing spin-off. That means that Spider-Man should be around. There at this point in time.
Yeah, which again goes back to my major issue with stuff like, you know, the first, well, Winter Soldier, you know, Captain America Winter Soldier. All that shit was going on and none of the other Avengers, especially that Stark fella, coincidentally another white billionaire with dead parents.
Yeah.
Didn't think to go, hang on, maybe do something about that.
yeah.
Crazy.
I mean, it's more understandable when you're talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. because there just seems to be a more casual nod between the series, but they're all supposed, you know, these are all supposed to be far more, you know, interconnected.
Yeah. And
yeah, Robert Downey Jr. turning up in CG armor is going to blow the entire budget of the series in one scene. But never mind.
Well, I mean, see, the Marvel Universe is it's seemingly kind of infinite in a way because you've obviously got, you know, kind of the...
Infinite in New York.
Well, yeah, but It's infinite in a way, because obviously you've got the Earth-based heroes and all the problems that arise from Earth, and you've got stuff like Asgard and the Guardians of the Galaxy, which kind of expand the scope of the Marvel Universe outwards, and then you've got
Doctor Strange and stuff,
which and you kind of have to think to yourself, in a way, if you're going to basically expand the dimensions of the Marvel Universe out this way and out that way and out the other, it's like you kind of assume that there'd be even more superheroes popping up.
Yeah.
You've got this kind of massive density of them in this cinematic universe on Earth. Just think how many there should be.
You're going to have more, aren't you? Because the Inhumans is going to be out in summer.
Yeah,
I was going to mention that because I noticed, what is it? It's going to be a series.
Yep.
Hey, what?
It's going to be a TV series. What? But it's going to be the first TV show filmed in IMAX, hence why the first two episodes are going to be premiered at cinemas this summer.
And that's of, what did you say, Inhumans?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, really?
Following the royal family, Black Bolt.
So where's that going to be? What network is that going to be with, do you know? Is that going to be ABC?
ABC.
Well?
Yeah, right? ABC.
ABC, okay.
And then you've got another new show coming out next year called Cloak & Dagger, which are based around two teenager superheroes.
So basically, superheroes are gearing up.
Oh, definitely. They are expanding. And I quite like the fact that they are in. There's nods in all of them to the other parts of the universes.
Oh, good. Good, because you've got if you're building something this massive like Marvel Cinematic Universe, and you don't do nods to each other, then there's kind of no point to having it all set in the same universe.
Exactly, which is where DC seem to have fallen down with their TV shows and cinematic universe, because they've kept it all separately.
Can we have Agent Carter back now, please?
Not yet, unfortunately.
Oh.
Sorry.
So, obviously, we're going to eventually get to the point where there's going to be, few superheroes in the Marvel Comics that haven't had a screen debut.
Pretty much.
Soon enough. That's what it feels like anyway.
Yeah.
I'm still waiting for Venom and Carnage.
Oh, Venom.
Venom is getting its own film, isn't it?
Yeah, Venom's getting its own movie. Which is classed as a horror movie.
Really?
It's going to be the first. Apparently, they're going to try and have it so it's the first comic book horror movie.
Blade?
Is it still going to be based on Spider-Man?
Just purely, I'm assuming Spider-Man might appear in it, but no, it is going to be focused mainly on Venom.
It's just, I was reading Spider-Man at the time when they first did Venom.
Yeah.
Because Spider-Man was in his black suit.
Yes.
And it just sort of merged on him. And then I remember he went to see Boss Man in Fantastic Four. This is how much of a fan I am of the
Reed Richards.
That's him, yeah. He went to see him and he was going to analyse his suit.
Yes.
Because he was starting to concern him, and then it wouldn't leave him.
He was losing his temper a lot as well, going a little bit overkill when he was taking on villains.
So yeah, I remember that. So is it going to be, because didn't they do the sort of black suit in, was it Spider-Man 3, which I never got around to watching?
That film never existed. Shut up.
I see.
Take those feeble words away from my mouth. It's a bit like...
Just probably still better than Star Trek Into Darkness.
Hey, fuck off.
Just going on to the Marvel website here, and it's like every single character has or is going to be in like you know, somewhere in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Squirrel Girl.
Well, apart from, well, she got Captain Marvel. That film's coming up soon.
Yep.
But yeah, it's like Medusa. I think that's one that hasn't shown up yet. Ms. Marvel or Kamala Khan.
Medusa will be in Inhumans because she's the wife of Black Bolt, isn't she?
Ah, okay.
I was going to say, are you asking us? Because
I did you see who's been cast in Inhumans?
Not a clue.
Amy Ackerman.
Oh,
Ed.
Okay. I'm now interested.
I mean, She-Hulk hasn't had. Hasn't been involved in any of the Marvel Cinematic Universe yet.
No, and she'd actually be a good character.
Mm.
I like She-Hulk.
Okay, just looking through the other stuff. Brotherhood of Illuminati. That might be quite an interesting one for the Marvel Cinematic Universe, although you'd need to somehow manage to get the rights to Reed Richards, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
And is Xavier part of the Illuminati as well?
Yes.
So yeah, that's not going to happen.
That reminds me a sad tale of not purposeful, but a sad tale of comparison.
Okay.
We watched the last episode of Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
And were underwhelmed by the whole experience. And then we watched episode 7 of Legion.
I've only watched the first episode of that so far. And I
can see why I've seen one or two people saying that, you know, they fell off it. Because it does seem to sort of drag things out a little bit. But my God, I thought, you know, episode 7 was great. And I am really looking forward to, you know, how that series ends. Because I just thought, taken as a whole, it's weird. Because, you know, I would say FX, you know, the series, the channel in the US that, you know, made it. Is more mainstream than, you know, it's more like just a TV channel, isn't it? Yeah, FX. It's so. You know, I would say less experimental, but Legion felt very experimental in comparison to the extremely formulaic Iron Fist.
Mm-hmm.
It felt like I was watching things being swapped around. But yeah, there are things I would like to say about episode 7 of Legion, but you'll have to watch it first.
Yeah, I was planning on.
It does things in that, and they work as well. They do things in that series, especially in that episode, that I've not seen in any other superhero film or TV series. And it was more experimental, but in a way that made perfect sense. And yeah, I just really liked it. And again, I'm coming at the whole thing of, I read comics growing up, and I read one or two Marvel, but I would never say I was a Marvel fan.
Mm.
Sort of marginally a DC fan, but even then, I went for the, you know, the Vertigo, yeah. And you know, Lobo and, you know, things like that. You know, the weirder end. I didn't really bother with the superhero stuff. But yeah, I've really enjoyed Legion.
Cool.
So, yeah, there we go. Recommended.
I watched the first episode, which I thought was brilliant. I just don't think... I just haven't had the time to watch the rest of them, to be fair.
Watch it. I will. Go on. Okay.
Why is everybody whispering?
Because we didn't want to wake the baby.
I think it's because we're Batman.
I'm Batman. So.
Okay.
So, moving swiftly on.
Yeah, how long do we reckon it's going to be before we're going to start seeing more of a change up in the Avengers and whatnot? Because obviously, you know, Chris Evans has come out and said that, you know, he doesn't want to play Captain America forever. And, you know, Robert Downey Jr.'s three films have been up and he's still kind of going as Tony Stark. How long do you reckon before people are going to take the mantle? Or whatever?
I think Infinity War Parts 1 and 2 will set up sort of second generation of the Avengers, especially with Captain Marvel, Black Panther, and the others coming on.
I still want Iron Man.
Yeah. I would actually like to see the new female version of Iron Man.
I would like to see that too.
Hmm?
Is it Riri Williams?
Yeah, Riri Williams, yeah. I would like to see that on the big screen, but I think we're a few years off from that. But no, I think we'll see a few changes to the roster with the latest Avengers films.
The question is, are they going to kill off, you know, anybody like, you know, kind of, what was it, Steve Rogers or anyone like that in order to kind of replace them? Or will they just be like, one day, I can't do this anymore. Here, you do it.
Does it really matter in the comic universe? Because they always come fucking back anyway.
Well, Quicksilver hasn't yet.
What, in the cinematic universe?
Yeah, in the cinematic universe.
No, he hasn't come back yet, but he has in the comic books. So. Wolverine's coming back in the comics.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. The original Logan will be back.
Catching.
Apparently. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, because obviously with the comics, you know, obviously they kind of kill off people and they introduce, you know, kind of alternate kind of realities and parallel worlds and, you know, kind of bring, you know, people back from death, you know, multiple times. I'm kind of hoping that they don't do that in a way with the Marvel Cinematic Universe, because that is a very comic booky type thing to do.
It is, and I hope they stay away from it. Definitely stay away from it. I mean, the thing is, I mean, if you let's look at it realistically, if you were to kill off, say, Spider-Man in the cinematic universe, you could still have another Spider-Man.
Yeah.
You can have Miles Morales.
Yeah.
Heck, could Ben you find a Gwen?
Yeah, it could be Gwen Stefani. Gwen.
Gwen Stefani.
It could be. It could also be Ben Parker as the Scarlet Spider. You've got loads of choices. Captain America, it was taken up by the Falcon.
Yeah.
And the Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
So you've already got two replacements for that mantle. Iron Man, Riri Wilson.
Riri Williams.
I knew it was one or two. Don't pick on me. Evil Sod. Yeah, but my point is, in the cinematic universe, you can play around with it. You can take that plunge to say, sorry, your time's done, you're dead. Cut off his head. And you can have the essence of the character come back with a different twist to it.
Yeah. I mean, so far they've kind of been picking and choosing the storylines from the, you know, kind of comics and whatnot.
Yes.
Eventually, because they're burning through those, aren't they?
Yeah.
You know, yes, you've got a rich back history and whatnot, but they won't touch some of the quirkier ones.
No.
So it's kind of making me wonder, you know, because after a while, the cinematic universe will catch up with the comics and they're going to have to, you know, start creating brand new stories for just, you know, the cinematic universe. How well do you reckon that will go?
If they keep doing it the way they're doing it, adding, you know, adding little twists here and there, they've got a long time. They've still got a long way to go, I think. You know, they've got plenty of time.
There's a lot to riff on, isn't there?
Yeah, there is. There's a lot of canon out there, so I think they've got plenty of time to do it. But, I mean, I think also, I think if Disney play it properly like they have been, and they've done really well to build this cinematic universe the way they have, personally, I think I wouldn't mind some original ideas on the table with those characters.
Yeah.
A bit like they did with Rogue One, where they took something of the lore and turned it into a full-fledged story.
See, the problem with Rogue One is that it kind of fitted in a bit too snugly. Me?
Well, because it was immediately before.
Yeah, that, and it was kind of a film to explain plot holes and certain other things.
Yeah, yeah, I know precisely what you mean with that, because it was, you know, oh, lol, you know, 30-odd years of lol, 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 they blow up the Death Star, and even it's got a massive exhaust port on it. Lol, lol, lol. Actually, no, we've got a film to explain that.
I mean, what wasn't there, like, reports of, well... Because I know the Death Star plans were in like episode 2 and 3 in as well, weren't there?
Yes.
Like a holographic kind of plan or what?
Holographic in the background.
So, yeah, presumably...
Those episodes don't exist. You've made a mistake.
That's fair.
After doing the, you know, the Machete podcast with them,
yeah.
And is that, yeah, that improved them, but it, yeah... It's kind of, well, getting my foot gnawed off by a rabid dog was slightly improved by me having some marzipan to eat while it happened. So, oh, marzipan. Add some booze. Yes, this will ease the painful experience of watching two Star Wars prequels I never wanted to... Well, I did want to happen until I saw the first one, and I thought, no, I'm good. And then I went to see them anyway.
Oh, dear. So, flipping over to the DC side of things.
Yeah.
Obviously
I think you mean staying with the Disney side of things.
But, yeah, obviously we've got the newest trailer of Justice League.
Which looks quite interesting. I liked it.
I'm not entirely sure about the animation for Cyborg.
It was a bit kind of...
There's very few shots of him, and they were very, very kind of tiny clips. But I think there was something a bit off with the animation. I'm not entirely sure whether it was just me or not.
Now, saying that about characters that seem very, you know, dated, Cyborg seems very dated.
I think, in all honesty, it depends on which origin story they go down.
That's the beauty and curse of comics, isn't it? They can just pick and choose because there's so many different... Oh, no.
Yeah.
He was hatched out of an alien egg. No, it was a Pikachu that escaped from a cartridge. It's like, no, actually, I think you'll find that is a TV remote control that, you know, fell down the back of the sofa into a parallel world. You know, it doesn't matter. They could even come up with a new, completely new origin story to explain someone who's mostly robot.
Yeah.
They could do.
I liked the... I've forgotten his name now. I like the actor that, you know, they've got playing him.
Yes.
But, yeah, as for... Yeah.
I am quietly hopeful. However, I honestly, I don't know. I was quietly hopeful about Batman versus Superman.
I think there'd be a good film there if they removed about half of it.
Yeah.
And hang on, what's your mother's name?
My mother's name is the same as your mother's.
Oh, that's okay then. Let's go beat up Lex Luthor. There we go. That's nicely summarised, isn't it?
Yes. But no, I think it has got potential. I'll wait and see. But I don't know. The DC universe hasn't really been...
It's not been strong at all, has it?
No, it's not. I mean, I'm intrigued by the Wonder Woman film as well, actually. I've seen the latest trailer for that.
I'm quietly hopeful with that. Every time I see a new trailer or
for Wonder Woman,
I just think, don't fuck this up. Please don't fuck this up. Please. And then I remember that Chris Pine is in it and go, you've already fucked it up, probably.
No! Don't be so mean. He could redeem himself. Leave him.
I think William Shatner is a better and more likeable Kirk than Chris Pine is.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And William Shatner's an asshole.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the chat, but I kind of liked Chris Pine.
I did, yeah.
But, yeah.
If he got killed in the opening scenes of the next film, I wouldn't care.
Oh, that would,
I was more upset with what happened to the Enterprise in its new one, Beyond.
Yeah.
I was more bothered about the Enterprises than more than Pine.
I think they're going through the Enterprises faster than the original timeline, though.
Yes. Definitely.
Actually, I think you'll find that they only did 3 of the years of the 5-year mission in the original transmitted series. And then by the time they blew up the Enterprise in the second film. But yeah, by that point, he was already Admiral, wasn't he?
Yeah.
But then also in the original series, he earned the ship and wasn't given it as part of, I don't know, a coupon offer.
One free Enterprise.
Like what happened in, you know, the reboot, yeah. You know, the Kelvin universe ones. Yeah, okay. Have a ship. You look sad. Have a ship.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bless you.
Have I mentioned any of that before that it bothers me?
Not sure. No, never. Never, ever, ever. No.
I thought I'd buried that deep down.
You're usually so relaxed, Retroid.
I know.
I know.
I'm kind of wondering whether people are eventually going to get bored with the idea of extended universes for films.
Well, you've got. Let me think. You've now got the Transformers extended universe going to be coming out soon.
Oh, God.
Wait, extended universe for Transformers. What?
Yeah. There's going to be standalone movies with Bumblebee and stuff on them. And
is it not going to be done by Explodey McShit film?
No, this is his last Transformers film, isn't it?
Did he say that?
Yeah, but wasn't the last one his last one?
Hmm. Oh. Well, I don't know then. Maybe they'll get him back. But yes, you're going to have the. It's basically going to be a Hasbro toy lineup, isn't it? Extended Universe, I believe, with some other people in there. But you've also got the new Universal monster movie universe being kicked off with The Mummy, followed by The Wolfman.
See, the Mummy looks quite decent. From what I've seen of it. I also thought that the original, as in the original most recent reboot of The Mummy, was, you know, all right until they did the sequels, and then it's yes. Just kind of, oh, what have you done? Stop that.
You want about the one with Brendan Fraser?
Yes.
I like that one.
The first Mummy film with, you know, with him in was quite a decent sort of just romp.
But, I mean, sooner or later, presumably you're going to get, like, the Law of Diminishing Returns with, you know, extended universes, because if you haven't kind of seen, like, all of the entire back catalogue of Marvel, then you're not necessarily going to get everything.
Well, I think we've already kind of seen what's going to happen with it. And, again, bearing in mind, I am not a Marvel, you know, fan. Mm. You know, Cookie can, you know, disagree. You know, with you know what I'm going to say, but yes, Marvel may have a shared universe, but they manage to have quite a decent range, kind of like they have. You have the Avengers, and then you have Guardians of the Galaxy, and Guardians of the Galaxy is not a superhero.
No,
no,
it's just sort of pulpy sci-fi.
Yeah,
and I really like Guardians of the Galaxy, and I'm looking forward to the new one. That's one where I've been watching, you know, the new trailers and thinking, that looks good. I don't think you're going to fuck this up, unlike Wonder Woman. That I'm just waiting for you to fuck up. But, yeah, I know DC, Marvel, blah, blah, blah. But We're going to see more of a range of Marvel's back catalogue, and you know they're going to be looking at it. As mentioned earlier, with you know if Venom is going to be like a sort of you know horror, you know body horror type, you know thing, yeah. I can see how that would work because they do have genres, they do have you know different things. They don't all have spandex suits and designs. Yeah. And superpowers, or you know, a special suit that gives them superpowers. Sometimes it's just they have pulpy sci-fi or weirdness, like Doctor Strange, or you know, whatever else you want to go with. So, if they were going to be just sticking with superhero stuff and you know, superhumans, then I think that would definitely just, you know, nosedive after a while. But it looks like they could have looked at those and thought, yeah, we need to pepper things around a little bit more. And because they know that these movies will bring in, you know, bums and seats and dollars, then they can afford, because there's no way Doctor Strange would have been made, let's say, about 5-10 years ago.
Very true.
But they've looked at it and they've thought, maybe we can. And that did well for them, so far as I know. So, and I thought it was an all right film. I thought it was better than Iron Fist.
Yeah, I quite enjoyed Doctor Strange. But I'm kind of wondering... At what point are they going to use him to kind of do like an alternate universe type thing? Because I really enjoy, like, say, for example, their short What Ifs in the Marvel comics. Those are actually quite interesting. So if they somehow manage to do, like, I don't know, maybe like an entire movie of What Ifs, you know, somehow with Doctor Strange, I'd be I would really enjoy that.
That kind of reminds me. And it's what Black Mirror has reminded me of. And don't worry, I'll keep this short. We need more standalone, as you say, what ifs. Because we did have Twilight Zone and The Outer Limits. And then in the 80s and 90s, we had the rebooted, you know, Twilight Zone and, you know, Outer Limits. And they had some, you know, good stories. And we've kind of just forgotten that. We've gone from, you know, self-contained each week to story arcs, which in a lot of ways, that's brilliant. I like that. But I have really enjoyed Black Mirror for the way it can just do that. It can do a standalone, these are the characters in this episode. That's all they will be. You don't have to worry about knowing anything else because everything you need to know will be in this hour.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we need more, and it would be great if someone decides, hey, how about a What If series?
Yeah. So, sorry, I've been searching for these expanded universes. So Ghostbusters is still on the cards to be one. Just for Retroid... because you'll love this. The actual Transformers Expanded Universe, well, they say expanded, there's going to be another, they're going to be up to Transformers 10, apparently.
Oh. What?
But also, because of the success, it's going to branch out to become a Hasbro Expanded Universe, including G.I.
I hate this already.
Including G.I. Joe, Micronauts, Visionaries, Mask, and ROM Space Time.
Hang on, what? Some of those still exist? Are they actually ongoing, or are they just going through, you know, an Argos from 1985 and thinking, we still own that, don't we? Barry, do we still own this? Yes, we do. Right, we can make someone with that then.
There's the Jump Street...
Visionaries!
Wait, there's nothing wrong with Visionaries. I used to watch that every Saturday. Thank you very much.
Yeah, but the entire selling point was you got kind of holographic flags.
Yes. Yeah. Then you've got the Jump Street expanded universe.
Yeah, are they trying to stick that in with Men in Black?
Yes, they do.
Hang on. Back. Is this as in 21?
Yeah.
Yeah, 21 Jump Street, yeah.
Hang on a minute.
Metroid?
Right, I'm back again.
Okay. Obviously Lego.
Well, I mean, the Lego movie kind of...
Because I'm beginning to think that I will need a lot of booze to handle these expanded universes.
Oh, Lego's good.
Lego's not bad, no. But everything else so far, it's... I'm looking at some cider vinegar. I'm considering drinking it.
Valiant Comics.
The name rings a bell. I can't remember.
Bloodshot. Harbinger. Harbinger Wars. Mm. Let me see. Transformers. Obviously, we know about.
Why do I get the feeling that this is going to be GoBots to Transformers?
Oh, do you remember that?
GoBots?
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to see the film in the cinema. Actually, in the cinema, I sat and watched the GoBots film. It was crap. Yeah. I mean, I was a little kid at the time, and even then, I knew it was crap. So, yeah.
But that's it for the expanded universes. So they are, obviously, expanded universes have become big money.
Well, they hope these are. I get the feeling that several of those, they'll either not make it off the drawing board, or they'll be straight to the bargain DVD for family entertainment section in Asda.
Yeah.
It does remind me, slightly in the same vein that the Big Bang Theory... it has been renewed for another two series.
Two seasons.
And also that they're doing a Sheldon when he was younger spin-off series.
Yes, Sheldon prequel. Younger what? Sheldon.
What? What?
Yeah, I mean, for about a decade or so now, we've had kind of this perception of Hollywood where nothing original was coming out. Everything's kind of a sequel or somehow connected to another thing, and it's just getting worse.
Yeah.
I think with a younger Sheldon series and an expanded Transformers Michael Bay universe, on Brexit... and President Trump, I am just wishing for the sweet embrace of death.
Oh, bless you. It's not that bad.
No, not for me, just...
for everybody else.
World. Yeah.
We should all die. Apart from me.
Yes.
Oh, bless you.
It would be selfish just for me to pop it. Because then that means everyone else is lumbered with this shit.
Bless you.
Oh, God.
To be fair, though, I mean, Hollywood, in the end, is an industry. It's there to make money, so I can kind of understand how things have evolved to the point where, you know, they're just kind of making movies into movie series and movie universes. As I'm not entirely sure where the next step's going to be, exactly.
Who knows?
I'm just thinking Bill Hicks was right. Except it wasn't advertisers, it was just content producers.
Bless.
Okay, I think that's probably all we've actually got time for now. So
I am sorry, Retroid.
A Transformers Ghostbusters crossover. That's a good dollar. Oh, God.
Don't try and get into the spirit of things and give fucking ideas away, will you?
A young Muppets, young Sheldon crossover.
No!
Muppets Babies, that was it.
Judge Dredd and Zombo crossover?
Yeah. Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. I think we should just call it a night there.
And on that bombshell, Ezra goes to prepare for his final.
I'm preparing the death ray.
The death ray.
The everyone else's death ray. Sorry, everyone. You'll thank me in a split second. You go, I don't have to see another Transformers film. Oh, thank you.
Because I did hear rumours on the internet, which is never a good thing anyway, of a Nintendo cinematic universe, and it's just like, no. No, 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 no.
Have you ever seen Captain N?
Nintendo do games, and they do games for a reason. Story, just leave it. Just leave it. They're good.
Oh, Mr. Blewett, you need to watch the
Captain N
Brothers TV show.
That was actually quite good fun.
Yeah, no, I mean,
it was.
You'd be, if you watched it now, it'll be nostalgia. That's pretty much it.
I prefer Captain N, though.
Okay, I'm trying to close up the episode. I've
never seen Captain N.
I'm trying to close up the episode now.
No, you need to share. You need to share in the pain.
I'll send you a link later, Paul. Don't worry about it. You'll love it.
And it's good night from...
It's good night from me, Paul Wood. I'm Retroid on Eurogamer.net and Super Retroid on Twitter. And Despair.
And it's good night for me. Mostly positive. One-armed underscore cookie on Twitter, a.k.a. Paul. The happy-go-lucky one.
It's good night from me, Paul Blewett. I'm on Twitter's at Paul Blewett. You can find the show notes over at www.nerdsassemble.co.uk. We're on Twitter's at nerdpodcast. We're on Google+ and Facebook. And I think is that everything?
Yeah.
Is that all the places that we are?
Yeah. But don't forget to watch Captain N.
I'm not going to watch Captain N.
Why?
And while you're doing it, you can watch Captain Planet.
Oh, please.
Where would you even watch it now?
You're talking...
Dave Internet.
Well, people are into all sorts. You know what the internet's like.
What? Why would you bring Captain Planet up?
Good night.
Night. Planet Captain N crossover. There's dollars in that.
Dollars in that. We need an extended universe for Nerds Assemble podcast. Suggestions.
Yeah.
Dollar cannon.
Good night.
Actually, I'd stand in for dollar cannon.
Thank you very much.
Good night.
Good night.